Capitol Hill, and it was obvious we were indeed being followed. As the car pulled up just down the street from my building, I hopped out and started walking up the sidewalk, trying my best to act naturally. Simon got out the other side, and wearing a trailer park-style denim skirt and wedge shoes that made him even taller, started to cut across the gravel lot between buildings, where out the corner of my eye, I saw two guys tackle him to the ground. Not good. I was almost to the corner when a short young cop in jeans and muscle shirt suddenly jumped around in front of me, held a badge in my face, and said, "Hold on a second, buddy. Where are you off to so fast, buddy?" Hands raised automatically, I did my best full of shit, bewildered, "What's this all about?" look. "I'm just going home," I pointed dumbly to my apartment building. "What's this?" he asked, reaching out to squeeze the drugs through the thin cloth of my shirt. "Hey, what the fuck, man? What do you want? I fucking live here." Pulling away from him in phony indignation, I quickly did in my head the calculations. How sick was I going to get before making bail? I hadn't done a shot yet that morning. Down the street, I could see both Simon and the cab driver sitting curbside in handcuffs, feet in the gutter, the entire back seat pulled out of the cab. "Okay, man, let's see some ID. In my mind, I could see my passport on the coffee table upstairs, covered in crack pipes, and the huge pile of used syringes next to it. That wasn't going to be an option. "I don't have it on me. My name is Mark Lanigan." The cop narrowed his eyes, took a hard look at me, then said, "Didn't you used to be a singer?" After walking me back down the street to the surveillance van, he took a small black and white photo off the dashboard. A guy they wanted for auto theft and who looked something like me. He had me sign it with a ballpoint pen and then let us be on our way. Chapter 1. Childhood of the Fiend. With the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck, I was born by C-section in November 1964 and then came up on the wrong side of the Cascade Mountains in the small eastern Washington town of Ellensburg. My family were from a long line of coal miners, loggers, bootleggers, South Dakotan dirt farmers, criminals, convicts, and hillbillies of the roughest, most ignorant sort. They came from Ireland, Scotland, and other parts of the UK. My grandmother on my mother's side had been born in Wales to Welsh parents. The names of my grandparents, aunts, uncles, and parents came straight out of the Appalachians to the deserts of eastern Washington and every trailer park in between. Names like Marshall and Floyd, my grandfathers. Ella and Emma, my grandmothers. Roy, Marvin, and Virgil, my uncles. Margie, Donna, and Laverne, my aunts. Dale, my father. Floyd, my mother. My older sister had been given the name Trina. I was the only one who escaped with the non-backwoods white bread name, a name I hated, but thanked God for when I found out that my mother had originally intended to name me Lance. Lance Lanigan. I could think of nothing more humiliating or ridiculous and thank my father for not allowing it. After that, I could live with Mark, but I always preferred to simply be called by my surname, Lanigan. If I were introducing myself to a stranger, I would always use my middle name, William. As if by telepathy, though, that was how most of my teachers, coaches, and acquaintances referred to me, Lanigan. Both of my parents had come from backgrounds of extreme poverty and cruel deprivation. Both of their lives had been transformed by tragedy when they were young. Both of my parents were the first members of their large families to go to college. Both became school teachers. School was something I just could not do. Caged behind a desk, I never tried to pay attention to what was being taught. I was often lost in daydreams about my first love, baseball. After school, I'd spend hours playing game after game in a makeshift field on a neighbor's property until it was too dark to see. Finally, I'd shuffle slowly home to endure the inevitable torrent of verbal abuse from my mother. The main focus of her rage, although there were many brutal angles to her attacks, was the fact that I was never home. She herself was the reason I stayed away. To avoid her corrosive mental beatdowns, both my older sister Trina and I looked for any excuse to be elsewhere. From my earliest memories, Trina and I were also at each other's throats, and since my father was hardly ever home, it meant I was